Molly was very upset with her teenage son. Jack had hurt her deeply, had cut her to the core. It was like he put a dagger in her heart. She cried, and then she waited. Only God knew where Jack had gone. She sure didn't. She couldn't go and tell Jack that there had been a peace that had come over her since their fight. As she prayed, her strength returned, and God gave her a vision. As Joel promised, God will give visions. God gave her a vision of his room filled with balloons that she would and did blow up and fill up his rooms with balloons. Balloons coming out around the door and a sign which said, "Welcome home." Molly prepared Jack's room out of the inspiration the Holy Spirit gave her. And when it was ready, Jack came home. With the Spirit-inspired welcome, they started again, but they were wiser. Much was forgiven out of the generosity of the Spirit that comes when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart. Mothers and fathers know you can get a second breath. God can give us a second breath. John the Baptist saw it coming. "I baptize you with water for repentance, but Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The disciples experienced what the world does to God. It was no longer just hypothetical. They had experienced the dreaded and awful crucifixion. They experienced the humiliation and the crucifixion of Christ, and it left them lifeless and limp in body, mind, and spirit. To make matters worse, they knew it wasn't just the authorities that brought pain into Jesus' life. They, too, with their deserting him and Peter's denying him, also added to his pain. How could they recover from their sin? All they knew to do is to hold up in the upper room, to go in and lock the doors. And suddenly Jesus was there with them. Even though the doors were closed and locked, Jesus was there. And he greeted with them, "Peace be with you." And he showed them what the world had done, his hands and his feet, at his side, the wounds from his crucifixion. And he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Church, that is our marching orders right here. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Jesus commissions them to go out into the world, but they are to stay in Jerusalem until they receive power, until they get the gift of the Holy Spirit, have the power to do what God wants them to do. God, who had breathed life into the clay in the garden, would do it again. He would give them a second wind. When the day of Pentecost came, they were still in the upper room, and suddenly there was a violent sound of a mighty wind filling the room. And fire appeared on all of the disciples' head, dividing and dancing on each one. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to share the good news of Jesus Christ in other languages. What a miracle! A miracle of witnessing, a miracle of proclamation. People from all over the world could understand what the disciples were saying, even though they didn't know that language. So many of you wearing red, it is good to look out and see all the red in the congregation this morning. Red for the flames of the Spirit. Red for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, empowering you to be the people God wants you to be. The Bible uses fire to also symbolize judgment. That is probably what John the Baptist had in mind when he said Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire is God's judgment on our sin. Jesus uses that imagery, doesn't he, in the parable of the weeds. Gather the weeds first and burn the weeds, but gather the wheat into my barn. Fire destroys the impurities. What remains are the essential elements. The disciples are transformed at Pentecost. The circumstances and the challenges of Jerusalem remain the same. The threat that was there before Pentecost continues to be there after Pentecost. It was the disciples that were changed. They were transformed. They were empowered. God gave them the power to be the witnesses that he called them to be. Their old ways of thinking and acting were cleansed by God's Holy Spirit. The official symbol of the United Methodist Church is here on the pulpit, the cross and the flames, the second and the third persons of the Trinity. And there are two flames, aren't there? Not just one. There are two from the Methodist Church and the Evangelical Brethren Church that came together in 68. And so for 44 years, we've been using this symbol, the cross and the flame, for the United Methodist Church. We are Pentecostal people. And that symbol is all across the world, in villages and cities and towns, everywhere. My wife and I have been to Guatemala many, many times on volunteer and mission experiences. And one of the places we go is way up in the highlands called Mamastenango. And when you go to the church there in Mamastenango, the Methodist Church, there on the pulpit, just like on this pulpit, is the cross and the flames, just like here. And when you look at that congregation, they look different from us. They're Mayan. They're a whole lot shorter than we are. And they are red colored. And they speak Spanish and sing in Spanish. But you know, when you worship there in that congregation, it feels just like home. The Spirit is there. It feels very, very much like home. Like our Sunday night services used to be, because they worship on Sunday night and the music just kind of takes me back to those days. As Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. We have been, and our team has been, received as brothers and sisters in Christ. The congregation, over and over again, has lined up to give us all a hug. We've been received so warmly there in Mamastenango. Go back with me now to the upper room. Jesus tells the disciples, you will fall away. Impetuous Peter responds, though they fall away, I'll never fall away. And Jesus responds, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And just as Jesus said, Peter denied him, denied knowing him three times. And then the cock crows. At Pentecost, Peter is given power through the fire and the Holy Spirit. He's no longer sinking in the Sea of Galilee. He is no longer denying that he is a follower of Jesus Christ. He proclaims it boldly. He's preaching about visions and dreams as God's people are connected to God's Spirit. He is preaching in the very heart and center of Jerusalem that crucified Jesus. He is preaching to people who have come from all over the world to celebrate the Jewish festival of Pentecost. Peter is no longer locked away and afraid. He preaches Jesus crucified and risen. He preaches God's grace and forgiveness of sins and the power of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. Peter is no longer held back by fear and weakness. He's alive with God's presence. And tongues of fire descend on the hearers, and they are moved by his preaching. Their hearts are seared. Cut to the quick, they say to Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter says, "Change your life. Turn to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." 3,000 were baptized that day. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Happy birthday, church. Before Pentecost, the disciples are fearful and ineffective. After Pentecost, they are powerful witnesses for Jesus Christ. Before Pentecost, Peter denies Jesus 3 times in the same night. After Pentecost, he is willing to face persecution and death for Jesus' sake. Until our minds become intent on the Spirit, John Calvin writes, Christ lies idle because we coldly contemplate him outside ourselves. Indeed, far from us. And that's where so many Christians are. They think about Jesus way out there somewhere rather than here. Fire. Did you know it's good for nature? We've been seeing all those messages from Yogi the Bear, and we know to be careful about forest fires, but did you know forest fires can be good things as well? In fact, many, many years ago, there was a great fire in Yellowstone National Park. And a bunch of years after that, my wife and I traveled from the Grand Tetons up through southern Yellowstone National Park. And you know what's there now? Beautiful, new, and young forest have come and replaced that was burnt out. And the rangers tell us that where it's burnt out, it's good habitat for certain birds and animals as well. Periodic forest fires are natural and normal, helpful to the environment. And yes, dear brothers and sisters, all of us need the fire of God's Holy Spirit coming into our lives so that God is no longer just out there, but God is here in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Everywhere I go, I meet Christians who believe the right things. They even believe that the cross is the focal point of salvation, but they haven't allowed the Spirit to come into their lives and empower their lives and direct their lives and focus their lives. William Blake rightly says, unless the eye catch fire, God will not be seen. Unless the tongue catch fire, God will not be named. Unless the ear catch fire, God will not be heard. Unless the heart catch fire, God will not be loved. Unless the mind catch fire, God will not be known in our lives. John and Charles Wesley had all the forms of faith when they came to Georgia. They were here in ministry, and that ministry failed, didn't it? They went back to England, and it was there in England after his ministry in Georgia John Wesley had the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, and he felt his heart strangely warmed. And they received power, John and Charles Wesley, that created a revival in England. That revival spread into the colonies and formed the Methodist movement, which has given us the Methodist Church. Fire. Come, Holy Spirit, burn in our lives. Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with fire divine. Fire burned in a 23-year-old young lady, Kylie Bisutti's heart, when she decided God called her to leave modeling. In 2009, she won a contest to walk the Victoria's Secret runway fashion show. She was on the Today Show this week, and she told Savannah Guthrie, "I'm a Christian. I'm just thankful God changed my heart earlier on rather than being 5 or 10 years down the road runway modeling or lingerie modeling." Modeling was her lifelong dream. She kept thinking, one day it was all going to pay off. One day it's going to change for me. Her pastor says it's really the story of someone who is pursuing fame and success and money, realizing along the way that those things are not going to bring the kind of satisfaction she was hoping for. She says leaving modeling was a slow, gradual process over time. Her husband says she came to the conviction going, "I don't want to go down that road anymore. I don't feel comfortable dressing half naked to sell clothing." Now she wants to be a Proverbs 31 wife. Charm is deceptive and beauty fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now she wants to be a witness to young girls and has written a book about eating disorders, about body image, about the modeling industry. She wants to help other young girls who are dealing with that guy sitting on their shoulder that Pastor Kip talks about, trying to get them to be what God doesn't want them to be. The promise Jesus gives us is, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So often we hear in the church when it comes time to doing ministry, we can't do that because we don't have the money. Have you heard that? You've been in church meetings, certainly you've heard it. "We can't do that. We don't have the money for that." But you know what? It's never about the money. It's always about the will. It's always about having the right heart, having the right will, and looking to the Holy Spirit to provide a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. Money is never the problem. The problem is we need the Holy Spirit to help us. I'm reminded of a pastor in Guatemala whose widows were hungry. They came to him asking for food. And he knew that he couldn't provide food over and over and over again. He knew that what they needed wasn't just for the church to give them food. What they really needed was a job. And so God gave Pastor Diego a vision of the Ruth and Naomi Project, a project that is still operating in Chichicastenango, Guatemala today. It was a time of civil war. The men in that area were gathered in a church, and then the authorities bombed the church and killed the men. So you know the story of Ruth and Naomi, how Naomi's sons have died, Ruth's husband, one of the sons has died. They are in need of food. So what Pastor Diego dreamed is taking the young men who are orphans, teaching them a trade, teaching them to sew, because he was a tailor. And then he used the women's weaving. This beautiful table runner on the lectern today is part of the weavings, came from the Ruth and Naomi project. Imagine the women making that beautiful table runner with their knees on the ground, with the old backstrap loom, weaving the products. So when my wife went with our bishop's wife to Guatemala so many years ago, she called saying, can I bring back 200 bags? This was right after 9/11. And the churches stopped coming. There was an order for these bags, and they had all the money and time invested in it, and the teams didn't come to get the bags that they had ordered. So what do you say to your wife who's in Guatemala saying, can I bring home 200 bags? Yes, dear. And we've been supporting this wonderful project ever since. God gave that wonderful pastor a vision of a way to help his people beyond just giving them food, provided them the dignity of providing for themselves. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be the people God wants us to be. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be the church in ministry to the world that God wants us to be. Won't you open your heart to the searing and the burning and the warming of God's Holy Spirit? Let it burn away all those things that get in the way, all those fears, all those doubts, all of those things that you're busy with that keep you from being the people God wants you to be and serving God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. Pentecost is about God touching us and searing us and warming us and empowering us to be his people in the world, in ministry, as the body of Christ, doing the things Jesus would do if he were physically in the world with us today. That's our calling. That's really our joy. And if you want to find blessing, that's where you'll find it. Amen.